in all accounts of the gospel. The trouble is, they have different accounts. One, they have one woman talking about. The other one, there's five of them. The other one, just two. And the other one, just plainly said, just women. So the first thing in my mind was, somebody's going to heckle me and said, how can you make them up together? How can you put them together? Well, my mission today is not to make all things, all ends meet and says connect them all together. My mission today is to preach the reality and the joy and the promise of the Resurrection Sunday. This day marks the calendar of the church and also give us the time to celebrate, to meditate on the important fact of the gospel, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because if Jesus is not risen from the grave, what's the point of traveling from Oxford to Brighton 3 hours, 6 hours every single day that I have to come here? What's the point? If Jesus has not risen from the grave, what's the point of coming to church believing that we already have eternal life the moment we put our faith in Jesus Christ? Death is just a transition. What is the point of worshiping God as we do every day if Jesus indeed has not risen from the grave? But the truth is, he has risen from the grave. The disciples saw it, the women saw it, and the angel said it. He is not here. He has risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. And I like that. That despite our creaking knees, our hard-to-bend bodies when wake up in the morning, despite the fact that we're struggling mentally from time to time, that when you reach the age of 50, the sound of your body is actually starting to, making its own noises. I'm just saying that to tell you that I share all your joys at this moment. The fact that we are always coming to the church, whether it is cloudy, whether it's as bright as this, thank you, Lord, for this wonderful Easter Sunday. The reality is, we are not driven by our emotions. We are driven by the fact that we worship the Lord who has risen from the grave. Therefore, all of his promises, all of the prophecies about him are true. Because he has risen from the grave. That's the number one fact. All pastors, all preachers this morning should say that. Because we don't come to Easter Sunday just to get Easter eggs or to find bunny rabbits. We don't go to church to do that. We go to church because we worship the Lord who has risen from the grave. And we are. Second thing is that it's good to be reminded this day that Easter Sunday is a day to remind ourselves that Jesus promised that in my Father's house there are many mansions, and I will go there to prepare a place for you. And if I did finish that, I will come and collect you to be with me. I haven't been able to live in a mansion, but I expect God to fulfill his promise because he did. And we're going to live in a mansion. Would you like me? You got the, neighbors. Trouble is in heaven, I think, besides, we believe we still have privacy in heaven if we want to, but the thing is we can go through doors without opening it, because we will have the body that Jesus has. Our resurrection body will be like that. And to me, I would say the great thing about resurrection is that all the promises of resurrection, all the promise of eternal life are all fulfilled that day, more than 2,000 years ago. The second thing that I find is this. From the story, if you look at Mark, if you look at Luke, if you look at Matthew 28, of course, if you look at John, these are all accounts that cannot be denied that Jesus indeed rose from the grave. Matthew said there were even two guards who guarded the tomb. But when the angels arrived, they became frozen like dead men. And the stone was rolled away, and Jesus' body could not be found. The same is true in Mark. The women were thinking, oh dear, how can we roll the stone away? But when they arrived, there were already angels there and told them, why do you look the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. And if you go to look, we can find there that Jesus wasn't found. And the women especially were very worried about it because they cannot find the body. And yet the promise was there. The angel were there saying, he is not here. Why are you crying? He is not here. He has risen. And if you go over to John chapter 20, you'd find a story of Mary who goes alone on to the tomb and found no body. Jesus' body wasn't there. And then she ran and told Peter and John. And Peter and John ran to the tomb and check it out, and there's no body. But yet when they left, Mary went in and found there were two men with shining clothes, one on the head, near the head of Jesus, where he was laid, and one near the foot of Jesus, and spoke to her and said, why are you crying? When she looked back, she saw Jesus, but not knowing it was Jesus, the same question arose, why are you crying? And she said, Lord, or sir, if you've taken the body of Jesus, please tell me where you put it, and I'll go and collect it. And then Jesus said, Mary. And then she replied, Rabboni, which means my teacher. Because it's the name that caught her attention. It's the way that Jesus said her name that caught her attention. And she recognized what she thought to be the gardener was actually Jesus, the resurrected Jesus. And what a fabulous day that is. And all of these aspects, all the preachers, including myself, will push the idea that we are here to celebrate that Jesus is alive. But if you allow me this morning, I'll go further than that. Not going overboard from the scripture, but staying in the scripture, but go beyond it. I believe that the Resurrection Sunday and all the accounts of resurrection, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, tells us one thing. That the day of resurrection is the day that God tells us that God is an all-equalizing God. He equalized everybody on that day. Why? So many complaints from the women's group and from the other scholars. Every time you read the scripture, you know women almost like rated a second class in the scripture. You know you don't hear much about them, even from the Old Testament to the New Testament. You hear lots about men, leaders and this and leaders of that. But women, no. But tell you, on the Resurrection Sunday, God reversed the whole thing. He turned the whole world upside down, literally. Why? Number one. It was the women who saw Jesus resurrected. It was the women who first heard the gospel that Jesus was risen to life. It was the women who thought they're going there to anoint her body with their ointment, but found that Jesus' body wasn't there. It was the woman, Mary, who actually had a verse conversation with Jesus, who told her, go to my brothers and tell them that I'm going to my God, to my Father and your Father, and to my God, who is your God. It was the woman. And every time I read this, I would always say to myself, this is a stark contrast to anything that I've seen before. This is a very obvious thing that most probably people like me did not realize, that on Resurrection Sunday, God said, hey guys, it's not all about you. It's also about the ministry that women do with me. Because women and men are to be of the same equal value in the kingdom of God. No less, no more, they're the same. The functions in one way or another could be different, but the value and their power and their presence is the same. Women in ministry shouldn't be a question at all. They are to be part of the ministry. I heard so many stories, I heard so many surveys, and even with the Baptist Union, they always say that the church, the Baptist churches, most likely you will find the ratio, women are more than men, which is a fact here in our own church, right? I don't worry about it. Because even in Jesus' time, without reading it, without looking at it, you would know that there were women following and supporting him in his ministry. Can you imagine Jesus cooking for his 12 disciples every day? No. It was the women doing that for them. The fact that it was the woman, one of the women who is rich, who was rich, wealthy, who were able to fund Jesus' ministry. Do you think every day Jesus would say, hang on a minute, let's do some miracle here. Okay, twang, then they will have money. No, it was the women who helped them in their ministry. And on this Resurrection Sunday, Resurrection Day, God showed to his disciples, women are also witnesses and ministers of my kingdom. You probably didn't think about it, but this is what I'd like you to know. They are to be regarded as honorable as you. In 1925, Baptist Union first accepted and ordained Edith Gates as the first woman ordained into ministry. Can you imagine before that? Regardless of how good the woman in leadership, how good the lady minister in preaching the gospel, she's not recognized. I'm just talking about the Baptist Union churches. But I must say to you, they are as qualified as men in the ministry. Did you hear the words or the phrase or the motto that says, he is no fool who gives what he cannot lose he is no fool to give what he can lose in order to gain what he cannot lose. Did you hear those words? These were the words by Jim Elliot. He's an American missionary to the Ecuador. Okan Indians, the day in 1957, if I'm right, the moment they touched down on that river, the Okan Indians spared them to death. All five of them died. But the splendor of the story was that his wife, Elizabeth Elliot, did not only say, I forgive you guys, but she came with her daughter and lived among the Okan Indians, even befriending those who killed her husband, and later on established a ministry, and enduring as her lasting life was on the earth, and she became a bastion of mission work in South America and even around the world. It was the woman who conquered the ministry for the Okan Indians. It wasn't Jim Elliot. It was Elizabeth. The woman who preached here, Lady Minister, Reverend Dr. Myra Blythe, she is the first Deputy General Secretary of the Baptist Union. It was a very difficult position to fill in just by a woman. But she did. She worked as the first Baptist woman in the World Council of Churches from 1988 to 1999 as a director of the Refugee Aid and World Aid Program at Geneva, Switzerland. Then he became a tutor in Regent's Park College. Small, but they call that powerful. But let's just talk about locality. I'm not going to be embarrassed to say that I don't look at my wife as lower person than me. She's my equal. Actually, she's better. Because if there's a broken bulb in the house, it's Alma going up there and changing it. I can't. I'm afraid. But you would see her changing it as if she's a good electrician. And then she told me once, I think it's time for you to learn to drive. Because if you don't, I will. So I'm afraid that she's going to drive me all the time. I said, yeah, I'm going to learn it. So I did. At the age of 39, I learned how to drive. Would you believe that? And after 3 months, I got my license. The thing is, the power of women can't be questioned. The joy of having ministry can be questioned. Are these two now? Yes. I asked Sue to give me a sign that if I have 5 minutes left to speak. Because I can go on and on. I would say that the Resurrection Day should be a day where we celebrate the contribution of women in the ministry. Because I, for one, would stand and say, I will never be here unless there were women in the church who actually propelled me, taught me, guided me and supported me in my ministry. The first time I heard the gospel was from a woman Sunday school teacher at the age of 6. The one who ordained me into ministry is a woman minister. The one who told me you can continue with your studies, with your actions, with your work until you became an ordained minister was a woman. And the woman who pushed me to go to study was my wife herself. All I'm saying is this. It would be nice to imagine and a thing lovely to behold if a church has one mindset, and this is it. Either you're a woman or a man, we are the same in the ministry. We are the same value in the church because God wants us to have the thinking. Because in heaven, according to the Bible, there's no woman and no man, right? None. So why can't we practice it like that when we value each other? Because the resurrection day told us one thing, that on that day, it was the women who was given the task to tell the gospel. You know why I was pushed to preach this? Because according to verse 11 of that passage, it says, they told them, but they didn't believe them, because to them, the words of the women were nonsense. I really hate that passage. The words of the women to them are nonsense. Can you believe? As a woman, you could not believe in? I mean, that's difficult. Just like my feeling when I didn't recognize all these things 23 years ago. When I first saw a woman driving the bus in London, I thought to myself, oh, there's a woman driving the bus. Little did I know that actually there is a woman piloting the plane that I'm riding as well. So much to say, I would say, that's cultural shock to me, all because I thought women's this, men is that. But to be honest, I think the very first thing that Jesus changed at the time, at the resurrection day, is that men and women are equally valued in the kingdom of God. So when so preached, listen to her. When I preach, listen to me. When you preach as a woman or tell you things about Jesus as a woman, listen. You should be listened to. The value of your words is not dependent on your gender, but on the power of the scripture where it was based. So long as you base your message on the scripture, go for it. And so today, as we remember that Jesus rose from the grave, when we came to our houses, our homes, when we behold the photographs of our grandmas, of our mothers who passed on already, always remember that's not only in heaven that they're valued the same as men, also here on earth. So therefore, let's live our lives with this kind of appreciation to the Jane Leavers of this church, to the Ruth, to Eileen, to Maria, to everyone here, because there's nobody who should be above us. We're all the same, equal before God. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen.